You don't wake up dreaming of McDonald's fries. You wake up dreaming of McDonald's hash browns. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, as usual. And this week, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm going to take a break from looking at all the businesses. It's nice to kind of chop those episodes up a little bit with some other stuff. And we've been doing a lot of focusing on lore and all of the, well, I mean, it is a Lorecast, right? But all of the aspects and details that we can squeeze out of the video games and the TV show. More often lately, I guess you could say. I mean, every so often, I like to do these kind of essay episodes or speculation episodes, kind of keep things fresh. So I thought it was time again to do some more speculating, but not just speculating, catching up on the news and other people's predictions about the second season of the Fallout TV show, because it seems like things are amping up. We're getting all sorts of cool pictures. We're getting some more little drops and secrets here and there. And the main focus of this episode isn't going to be detailing the details in the pictures or some of the things that have been dropping. There are a lot of places you can go to see that stuff rather than an audio podcast. But I'm going to reference some of that stuff. And then I'm going to take you through some of the predictions that have been floating around all the way from the end of the series almost a year ago, that was a year ago already, to the more recent ones that have kind of come out and the things that people have been predicting online. And of course, I'll comment on some of my thoughts on that stuff, but I would love to hear from you as well. So if you have thoughts about any of these predictions, if you think certain predictions are more likely than others, please chime in on our Discord or comment on this video on the Patreon if you're one of our patron members. But here, let's get into it. So you may have already realized that this episode could be full of spoilers. So if you haven't, for some reason, just haven't watched season one yet, go watch it. It's great. Everybody loves what they did. And there's a lot of cool stuff that they're moving into in the second season that has basically been confirmed. New Vegas fans, get ready. So if you haven't watched it yet, go watch it, then come back, listen to this episode. So there will be spoilers. But here, at the end of season one, we had kind of a breakdown of, well, where things were going for each of the main characters. It seems like things ended up in a way that we maybe wouldn't have expected. Lucy is somebody who's trying to stick to her morals, but she decides to put her mother out of her misery. She's been ghoulified, and whether that was an act of mercy or something else, I think it lends itself more to the act of mercy, but the idea that she was willing to commit violence in the act of mercy, which feels difficult for her character. Then she and the ghoul take off after Hank in his power armor heading to New Vegas, and then we get Maximus. The situation with Maximus is that, well, he was, like he did throughout the whole first season, kind of stumbled into lucky situations and is now being upheld as, well, potentially the poster boy for the Brotherhood, if not a even more powerful role. So we'll have to see where that goes. But that's how the season ends. The Platinum Chip is, of course, very important, and there are a lot of questions and things to solve. But here, let's get into some of the speculation that happened right about when the season ended and people were fresh on it. We're going to talk about the predictions from almost a year ago, and then we're going to talk about more recent predictions as we go on. So let's take a time machine back to about 11 months ago on Reddit and see what people were saying right after the season ended. This post comes from AgitatedCat3087, who writes, "Given the TV show is canon, what is your season 2 prediction? Here goes mine. House, Deathclaws, Rangers, and Kings will be in season 2. House will be slightly different from how he is in New Vegas. He's probably an actual robot." I think what they're doing is they're speculating that the body will no longer hold up. And so either his consciousness, like we've seen in some of the other robots, or his brain itself will be deposited into a robot form. It goes on and says, "Fate of the Legion will be revealed, or they'll actually be a prominent faction." So that's interesting. What happens to the Legion there? "Ulysses will be in season 2, or just mentioned and saved for later seasons." So coming back of a popular character like Ulysses would be interesting. "More pre-war stories, in addition to Coop, the Ghoul's story, will likely include a crime noir side story with Valentine or someone similar, hoping..." I don't know that we're going to get Valentine, but that would be really cool if Valentine ended up in New Vegas because he feels like he would fit in real good there. I like that idea. "Another season-wide MacGuffin will be here also, like the Platinum Chip or the Cold Fusion device, and it will not be the Water Chip." The one, that one is a side story. So this, here, we're going to pause there. This idea of multiple MacGuffins, if you don't know the phrase MacGuffin, MacGuffin means basically an item or a premise that drives the action in a movie or story forward. So oftentimes a character is looking to solve a problem or to get a specific item, and that item or solution keeps on eluding them, which drives them through the narrative. In Fallout, this happens with like the water chip in Fallout 1, right? This happens with the Platinum Chip or Cold Fusion or, a number of Finding Sean and then dealing with that. There's a number of different ways to do that. So what they're saying here is that it's going to be a different MacGuffin. It's not going to be the Cold Fusion device like it was in season 1. It's going to be something like the Platinum Chip. Maybe the Platinum Chip comes back. I kind of doubt that. I think it's still going to be focused on the idea of Cold Fusion and what Cold Fusion could possibly do, especially for New Vegas. Maybe Hank understands what's going on in New Vegas. Who knows? Maybe the dam suffered in the conflict and was no longer providing enough power or something like that. And so he's seeing that there is a way to leverage somebody like House and House's army of robots and things like that in order to fight back the Brotherhood in order to claim the Cold Fusion power from them. I don't know. This is just speculation on my side. But here, let's get into a little bit more of what they were saying. It says on the next point, "Real walking, talking, killing Assaultrons will not be in season 2. I don't know where they're getting that prediction from. I mean, there was the Assaultron head we saw, but I'm not sure why you would just say they're not going to be there at all. More will be revealed about what exactly happened to the NCR. I think that's absolutely true. And that's their prediction for this. Now, this, of course, got debated. Lots of other people chimed in. But there were a number of other people putting forward posts with some very clearly outlined ideas. So next up, Forky1899 is their name. Season 2 predictions / wishes. "Man, season 1 was awesome. The more that I sit on it, the more I enjoyed it. I know we're years out from season 2, but here are a few things that I would like to see." And hopefully we're still not years out. I mean, I know they're still filming, but maybe less than 2 years from the first one. Maybe we'll get this in the fall. I don't know. Anyway, point number one, more Cooper flashbacks. I think that is absolutely going to happen. So just chime in on that one. Season 1 introduced and answered so many questions, but also left us with even more questions. What happened when Cooper inevitably confronted Barb after learning what she was planning? Did he interact with Moldaver after? Did he have any other interactions with Hank pre-war? How did he get separated from his daughter when the bombs dropped? And most importantly, is she and or Barb still alive? I hope we delve into this next season." Absolutely. I think that one is almost almost undebatable that we're going to get more of that and more answers for how Cooper was involved with all of these other characters or how things worked out for these other characters behind the scenes that we haven't seen yet. So absolutely think that's going to happen. Next point. Lucy and Maximus at their lowest points. At the end of season one, both characters achieved their wants, but at what cost? Lucy found her father, but also discovered that he is a genocidal maniac that is responsible for the death of her mother. Max finally becomes a knight, but no longer has Lucy by his side and could also become corrupted by his newfound power. It will be interesting to see how they both confront their new dynamics. I also think this is onto something. We're going to see Maximus go from a nobody to an absolute very important person. We're also going to see him struggle with the fact that his luck has catapulted him to a place where he's not ready to be. And how does he smarten up to handle that situation to either become somebody who falls to the temptations of that power and becomes a villain, or realizes the importance of using that power, you know, in good ways and stays a hero. I mean, he's kind of a neutral character, I would say, in season one. I mean, he has a lot of selfish motivations, but he also doesn't seem inherently like a bad guy. But we're going to see that. We're going to see him tested, and we're going to see where that takes his story arc. As for Lucy, she started off pretty good. Life was okay for her in the vault, and, you know, it wasn't perfect, but things then continue to get worse and worse and worse until the end, where the end of season one, yes, she gets what she was looking for. She found her father, but all the information was not things that she really wanted to know. So she's very, very, very low. She's at a very low point in the story at that point. And I think we're going to see swings and details of how each of those characters deal with situations that they're not traditionally used to. So I think that's going to play out. And I think Cooper is still going to act as kind of a corrupting force, but then more of a here's how to survive in this world sort of force for Lucy, along with her bringing back some of his humanity through understanding his story and his connections to these other people. But maybe that's optimistic. All right. Point number three. The Vault 31, 32, 33 conspiracy uncovered. I did not expect for the Vault conspiracy to be as interesting as it was. Unfortunately for Norm, I'm pretty certain that he's forced to go under cryostasis, leaving Chet to become season 2's hero. I'd like to see him undergo redemption for being a little bitch in season 1, find Norm, and finally join him to expose Vault 31 to the rest of the dwellers. But in true Fallout fashion, it's going to come with a cost. I think that Norm will be the sacrificial good guy character. I think we're going to see him not so much deal with moral dilemmas for himself, but he will be somebody who is willing to commit to continuing to put himself in danger in order to do the right thing. And he will suffer from it, but he will contribute in a way that allows the main protagonists, whether it's Lucy or Cooper or Maximus or all of them, to succeed in whatever is the most important thing they need to succeed in. He will be kind of a sacrificial lamb character. He will be the true hero holding up the hero in the story. He will be the Sam to Frodo. He's that kind of guy. I think that's where his story's going. All right, let's move on to number four. New Vegas's fate revealed. This is a guarantee at this point. The 10-year-old in me is so excited to see how it goes. What happened to the Strip, Caesar's Legion, the Kings? Everyone keeps bringing up the Kings specifically. I just hope people don't expect things to be exactly how they were in the game. Given it's been over 15 years since the Courier's journey, we're going to see a very different Vegas, for better or for worse. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. If we get season two and the New Vegas fans out there, and there are different stripes. Let's call it what it is. There are different stripes of New Vegas fans. There are the New Vegas fans who are reasonable, and it might be their favorite game, but they've got very good reason for that, and they like to argue points, but they're also very nice people. And then you have New Vegas fans who just absolutely trash anyone who has any point that contradicts anything that they would ever believe, and seem kind of impervious to, I don't know, any form of reasoning outside things they already think are true. You've got, that's just the case for everything, right? It happens in politics, it happens everywhere. But for New Vegas specifically, no matter what they show us, I predict that some percentage of the audience is going to complain that this does not make sense, Well, clearly it doesn't make sense because of the way that this storyline ended in New Vegas, or because there are multiple ways that you can end the story, and so this canonizes this thing and not this other thing. And it's going to be a gut reaction where they don't actually think through all the details as to why the people who made the TV show considered all of those things. And whatever possibility we get here is the kind of possibility that can leave most of that open and yet is 15 years later. And that's why things are different. That's what we're going to get. And so the fact that we go back to New Vegas and it's not exactly the same from the game is going to be a sticking point. But it shouldn't be exactly the same from the game. To this, the credit of this post, it's 15 years later. It should be different. We're going to have results that affect the way that that world works. Some characters will return. Other characters won't be alive. The strip itself may be redesigned in some specific ways in order to handle whatever happened at the end of New Vegas, depending on which lore they kind of, you know, use more importantly in this story. And that's the other thing. You can't use every bit of lore from New Vegas and all of its expansions and make a nod to all of it at the same time. That would be impossible. But you can pick out specific stories and show the results of those plot lines. A specific character who shows up, a specific casino that you go in. Something like that. They can pick and choose. Otherwise, it becomes too broad. So, yes, we're going to get more on the strip. And to that point, we have gotten some really cool pictures. I'm just going to note some details about the pictures that we've seen, but go look these up. They are very cool. So a while back, we got pictures of the Novak dinosaur. So we're not just going to get New Vegas. We'll at least have the dinosaur showing up. Now, whether that's going to be some sort of montage clip of like these are the different little towns and places nearby New Vegas or somewhere they just kind of wander through on their way in would be really cool. Or are we going to get actual plot lines with things happening in Novak? Don't really know, but we have the dinosaur. We've seen that picture.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We've also seen a number of pictures of different signs and the sides of buildings, billboards, things like that for places in the strip. So, for example, the Tops sign, which looks phenomenal. It is designed in a way that looks just like these old casinos would have done. It says the Tops Hotel and Casino. And then underneath that sign in some pictures that just came out 3 days ago, we have one of those, you know, those signs where you could swap in the letters, the black letters, and they have like lines across. It's like a white background with black letters. The World's Biggest Stars, the Rad Pack Song and Dance Revival, 6 p.m. on the sign. Rad Pack, of course, that's a reference to the Rat Pack, who were the entertainers and singers who were part of that Vegas thing, including Frank Sinatra and so on. So that one's really cool. We have some others that have popped up that I've seen as well, including some locations that look more like these hodgepodge together, I guess you could say settlements or whatever, with like a hardware store sign on it and a bunch of bins and barrels and wooden boards that are kind of making up the walls. There's also the Lucky 38 sign, which looks great. I've seen that as well. Behind it, you can see what appears to be some pillars, some Romanesque pillars. Now, whether those Romanesque pillars are on the strip, I'm guessing they are because they're behind the scene, or they are a nod to Caesar's Legion, or maybe both. Maybe the Legion actually is on the strip, but I think this is more likely Gamora because the outside of Gamora in the game, and of course, Fallout New Vegas is very old at this point, the graphics aren't super great, but it does kind of have this Romanesque kind of quality to the architecture. I think that's probably what that one is. And then behind the sign for Lucky 38 in some of these pictures includes Vault 21, so that might be featured in this. Now, it could just be like the hotel and shop at the top. The sign looks perfect, by the way. It looks exactly like it does in the game. Or it could go down into the vault for some reason. And just a reminder, Vault 21 was the gambling vault. Everyone was treated equally by the rules of, well, RNGesus is what we would say today in like speedrunning parlance. So those are some other cool pictures that have come out recently. The welcome to the strip sign right at the front, like the front gate wall has been constructed. That shows up as well. And then some outside parts of the Tops actual casino building with Tops as the like logo on the outside of the building has been seen. And in one of the pictures, there's a very zoomed in picture of what might be the Ultralux sign. I think it's the Ultralux sign, but there is like a board and a fence in the way, so you can't see the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure that's what that one is. So that's exciting. We're getting at least some of the casinos that are going to show up in the background, but maybe we're going to go in them. Maybe we'll talk to people who work at them. We don't really know yet, but it's fun to speculate. So here, let's get back to that other post. They just talked about New Vegas. The next point is no vault expeditions. One of the coolest aspects of Fallout's world building is the effed up experiments done throughout the vaults. Ideally, I would like to see Lucy and the Ghoul encounter one of these vaults, this time which with much deadlier stakes than at Vault 4. I think it would make sense to include another vault sort of scenario in the season because that's so foundational to our sense of what Fallout is. I can imagine them skipping this and or not even considering it because they want to push forward the main narrative, but I think it would be smart for them to include this. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I just think it feels like something that can contribute to a real sense of the world still and the vaults being important beyond just Vault 33, which we'll probably see a little bit more about. More dog, no explanation needed, second to last point. And then final point, the effects of cold fusion and the wasteland. I want to see the pros and cons of the introduction of unlimited power. On one hand, it could be the beginning of a stable civilization reintroduced into the wasteland. On the other, the Brotherhood will exploit its potential to construct terrifying new weapons and extort wastelanders. I think that that is interesting. I think it could go either way. I think the second one is more likely. I think it's more likely for the power of, you know, cold fusion to get to the Brotherhood's head. I also think it's more likely for them to use it to empower something like a Liberty Prime to show up and squash their enemies. That would mean that they would need to come across enemies that need to be squashed that violently. So is that the Legion, or is that more Enclave, or is that House in his robot army? I think we'll have to wait and see. Now, I've looked through some of these other older posts from just about a year ago, and they all say fairly similar things. Some of them do point out a little bit more about, say, like Hank building an army with, you know, Mr. House's either cooperation or he takes that over from him somehow. There's also some speculation about the Legion. Some other people were posting about how the Legion was so important in New Vegas and it was so well fleshed out that it would be silly for it to not show up in some way in season two. That makes sense. I could also see a version of this where the Legion is absolutely squashed by House and the NCR or either or whatever. And maybe there are remnants, there are Legion remnants that are still kind of around that don't want to admit that they were part of that, but they're still there behind the scenes. Maybe there's some of that. We'll just have to see. But here, let's move on to a post that came out actually today. This one says, wild guess about the state of New Vegas. This is by VG65 on Reddit, who writes, so what we know so far about New Vegas is that, and then he's got a bulleted list here. Point number one, the credit scenes teased a battle featuring NCR, Securitrons, and Deathclaws. Yes, that is interesting. Two, we don't know if the NCR and Securitrons were even fighting each other. Also true. There's a hole in the wall around New Vegas, the third point, and more recently, it's hinted that there will be an explosion on the Strip. So this leads me to believe that there is already conflict there and maybe House isn't as in control as we thought he would be. Number four, there's a Deathclaw warning sign at the Strip's entrance. This also implies that maybe House didn't survive or at least didn't maintain power. Hank leaves for New Vegas before Lucy and Cooper. All right, we all know that. The credit scenes showed a sign about the Tops having cryo suites. So putting that all together, what does all of that make you think? Because I feel like that's pretty accurate in the details that we get just in the very closing scene, I guess, if you can even call it that in season one. But here, this is their interpretation of all this. All right, here's a guess or two. What if the NCR does have some control or presence on the Strip, similar to how it was in New Vegas? I don't know which ending they're going to canonize or try their best to somehow leave it vague, but the 14 years between 2282 and now leaves a lot of room for changes. What if Hank arrives on the Strip, somehow accesses the cryo suites, and ends up meeting with Vault-Tec and or Enclave higher-ups that have been frozen for centuries? Cryo suites would make sense, especially in a safe location like New Vegas. What if House knew about this danger and therefore sealed off part of Vault 21 at some point? Maybe the cryo suites had tunnels that could link to Vault 21. Maybe Vault 21's gambling-focused experiment was an eye blinder to keep the real focus of the vault hidden. Perhaps the vault was actually giving power via its reactor to the cryo suites far beneath the Tops, or a secret part of the suites which houses the higher ups. Perhaps Hank will free the cryo villains before Lucy and Cooper arrive, and then the vault / cryo suites will send a distress call to any available Enclave forces. Or maybe they'll bribe the Omertas, or whoever's running Gamora, to cause an explosion to benefit the Enclave. This would be similar to how the Enclave in Fallout 2 bribed the Salvatore family of New Reno for their own gain. Maybe this will set off the battle that leads to the credit scenes, during which Hank and his fellow villains will try to escape. Perhaps Lucy and Cooper might arrive at some point here, possibly with Maximus and a Brotherhood force also moving into the region or to New Vegas itself. We could end up seeing NCR plus Securitrons versus a small Enclave force boosted by controlled death claws and maybe mercenary help. Maybe the Securitron army is weakened after 14 years of skirmishes in the region, especially if the NCR became weak after Shady Sands and struggled to keep a strong presence in the Mojave. Those skirmishes could have been against Raiders, Rogue, Great Khans. If the Wyoming ending is canon, then the rogue ones could be those who refuse to be tamed, Legion, or whatever's left of it, or whoever else. Meanwhile, elsewhere, the writers might even have the NCR clash with the Brotherhood in outposts across the Mojave, or at a rebuilt Boulder City, with the NCR scoring some major wins, or perhaps Elder Cleric Quintus will set his sights on Helios 1 and or Hoover Dam as well for backup power. Then, when the crap really hits the fan, the NCR and Brotherhood are forced into a truce. Just some wild guesses here. This is fun. And this is an example, and I can't go through all the different examples of some of the more recent speculation compared to the old speculation, but I love how these theories kind of take hold over a year and grow into other things, right? So this basically turns into a conflict across the entire area where these different groups are actively combating each other, kind of a little war scenario between everybody, which would be very interesting to see. But my only concern with that is it pulls some of the focus away from the character narrative. Now, if these things are happening in the background, this is the background setting, and we get some moments of conflict, I'm absolutely for that. I totally want to see Securitrons and Deathclaws tearing each other or different people apart or whatever, however the scenario plays out. I think that would be cool. But you have to remember, the writers are going to be character focused. So the only time we're going to see parts of this conflict is when it makes sense for those characters to be involved with that part of the conflict. So I don't know where that's going to go, but I don't think that this scenario is impossible. And that's the beauty of New Vegas. We have all of these very interesting locations. They bring up Helios 1, the Hoover Dam, some other places that totally could be a focus for the way this plays out, because they're important places. But I think going through all of this, the thing that really grabs me the most still is this idea that in the clip at the end of season one, it looked like New Vegas was in trouble. It looked like it had been invaded by Deathclaws. It looked like the outside wall had been scarred through some sort of battle. A hole was put there. So my guess is that the Strip itself is in some sort of lockdown, either defending itself or has already been looted and taken over by somebody else. Now, I wouldn't put it past either Caesar's Legion who has somehow gained enough power to do this, whether that's actually taking the dam or whatever else, or the Enclave, because House would still be a target for the Enclave. And if House isn't playing nice with the Enclave, they might eventually roll in, and maybe using brainwashed death claws to do that could be a way to make that happen. But the fact that there's a sign that says beware of death claws would imply that somebody lasted long enough after death claws were attacking to be able to put up a sign to warn other people that they might be nearby, which also implies that they're more likely to just be naturally occurring than an army. So the Enclave speculation there is probably less likely than something else. Now, the other option is that there's infighting from inside New Vegas. Who knows? Maybe House didn't survive. Maybe the different groups have been vying for power in different nefarious ways. That could play out in different ways as well. But most interesting is what's going to happen with Maximus and Lucy and the ghoul. And I covered a little bit at the beginning, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Where are we going? What is the bigger story? What are the individual character stories? What do you think is going to happen? And we're just going to have to see how that plays out.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
So I hope you enjoyed that, a little bit of an update and kind of update on the speculation about what's going on in Season 2. If there are details, like I said before, that you've considered or you've heard that I haven't heard, please post them in our Discord. But you know how this works. It's time to shout out our newest patrons, but we don't have any new ones from the last week. So if you'd like to sign up on patreon.com/followlorecast, you can get ad-free episodes, you can get stickers and t-shirts, you can join us on patron chats, all of that stuff. So go check that out. And we have to shout out our sentry bots, Dusty Ray and Germinator. Thank you so much for your continued support. And to all 107 of our patrons, our paying patrons right now. Oh, and there's also a bunch of free patrons as well. You don't get listed on that number, but you can join us there and get updates and maybe even giveaways and things like that. So check that out. Patreon.com/followlorecast. Also, if you want to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review with a rating on Apple Podcasts, like this one that came in about 5 days ago from when I'm recording this right now, from TLZ12345, who writes, "Great podcast. Definitely will be listening to this one for a long time. Just recently got into the series with Fallout 4 and the TV show and had a ton of questions about the world/lore. So I watched a couple short YouTube videos. However, the questions still mostly remained. One day, while I was doing some yard work, I decided to look up Fallout on Spotify and found, and this was the first podcast that popped up. Immediately, it was a podcast that felt super genuine with someone who seemed to really care about this series behind it. Somebody who didn't just give off the vibes of somebody reading off of a script, but instead of an eager person who was just dying to dump a bunch of interesting facts, history, and other neat things onto me. I'm only about 14 episodes in, including the minisodes, but already I feel like this is a podcast that I'll be listening to a ton in the future. Keep up the good work, robots." Well, thank you so much. That's such a nice way to put that, TLZ. And to everyone else who supports the show, thank you so much for being here. I'll be back next week, most likely with another business episode. We're going to go further down that list. Or, no, actually, looking at the dates, the 26th is the last Wednesday of the month, which means we've got a patron chat next week all of a sudden. These months are weird. It's feeling a little bit weird, but then I'll get back to the business stuff and, of course, more other Fallout stuff coming. So thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until then, I guess don't get attacked by a death claw on the outskirts of New Vegas because you almost made it in. What were you doing? Just get into the place. You're there. All right. I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.